ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا وشفينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. My respected elders and brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with iman and giving us the tawfiq to do as much as we can the good deeds which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in his ahadith. My brothers and sisters, the success of this life and the success of life hereafter depends on our iman and our deeds. The first question after death in the grave will be Marrabbuka, regarding our iman. That is why faith is very important. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man qala akhiru kalimati la ilaha illallah dakhal al-jannah." Whoever utters the words of shahada at the time of death, he'll be successful. That is why we have to preserve our iman and take it with us until the last moment of this life. Because the shaitan will always try to deceive us. You have seen the horse race. When they come to the finishing point, the horse uses its total power which it has in its body. So in the same way, when a mu'min is going to die, the shaitan will use whatever he has in his power. He will try to lock our tongue so that we cannot utter the word of shahada. That is why so many Muslims are dying. Those who are on the bedside, they reveal that the person could not utter the word of shahada. A doctor, he says, a couple of years ago, he mentioned in the newspaper that throughout the year 400 people died in front of me in the hospital, 400 Muslims. Total maybe more than 1,000 other communities. But he's talking about the Muslims that very difficultly 10 people they uttered the word of shahada. That is why the effort of iman is very important. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made the effort in the streets of Makkah. People stoned him. People used to place the intestines of the camel when he was going in sajda in the haram. People threw garbage on him. People scattered thorns on his way. People used to throw the rubbish from the balcony of their houses. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he came as rahmatul lil alamin. He says, "Qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu." Utter the words of shahada. Have iman. Believe in Allah. Allah is one, eternal, absolute. He has no children. He is neither the son of someone. So whoever utters the word of shahada at the time of death, that person is successful. Whoever goes without iman, Allah knows what he will do with him. But the ahadith says, whoever goes without iman, he will land in Jahannam. So my brothers, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, a short life, we have to worry about our iman. But it looks like we don't worry about iman. All we worry about is dunya. Nothing will accompany us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked the Sahaba, "Do you know what iman and amal is?" The Sahaba, they replied, "Allahu wa Rasuluhu a'lam." The Sahaba were so careful and so clever, even if they knew the answer, they would not reply. They wanted to know more from the mouth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said, "Allahu wa Rasuluhu a'lam." Then he gave an example. There is a person, he is about to die, and he has three brothers. One is the big one is the middle one is the small one. So he asks his big brother, "I am on the dying bed now, so can you tell me how much you will support me?" He said, "I will try to get the best medicine for you, the best doctor, the best hospital. If not possible in our locality, I will take you abroad." Then he asked, "If I die, how much you will assist me after death?" He says, "I'll bring your body back home, give it a wash, put the shroud around the body, then lift you on my shoulder, soldiers, lift your bier on my shoulder. I will do the janazah namaz and place you in that small place which is got qabr, which is called qabr." So he asked him after that. "After that, whenever I will find time, I will come to your grave, maybe once in a year on the Eid day, and try to send some isale sawab to you." He said, "After that, well, that is the last limit." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked the Sahaba, "How did you find this big brother?" He used the word, "Bara kamina hai." He's sensible, he's silly. The big brother, and the brother is saying, "I will assist you to the grave only, not beyond that point." Then he asked his second brother, who is the middle one, "How much you will assist?" He says, "Although you are my brother, we were born in the same family. Your father and my father is the same. Your mother and my mother is the same. But remember, as soon as you die, I will not wait for a moment, I will leave you. Not for a moment. I will leave you." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked, "What do you think about this second brother?" He says, "He is more worse than the first one. The first one will at least take his body to the grave. The second one is saying, I will leave you straight away as soon as your soul will depart. So he asked the third one, how much you will assist. The third one says, although I am your young brother, you never treated me as your brother. Because the big brother always the boss on the young ones. But because you are my brother, you are my blood, I will be with you at all stations after death. I will participate in your burial. Then when the people will place you in the grave and the Munkar and Nakir will come to ask Marrabbuka, Madinuka, Wama Takulu fi Hazar Rajul, I will be there. I will help you to give the answer. And on the day of judgment, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell everyone to cross the Pul Sirat, I will be with you. The Pul Sirat is thin as hair, sharper than the sword, and everybody will have to pass through it, on it. And the hell is underneath. Imagine if our iman and amal will not be good, we will fall down in the hell. I will assist you. And on the day of judgment, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will weigh the amals in the scale, wal waznu yawma izinil haq, faman sakulat mawazinuhu faulaika humul muflihun. I will jump in the scale of the good deeds. And I will make it heavier than the scale of the bad deeds. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said this example, he asked the Sahaba, how was this one? The first one was bad, the second one was more bad. What about this third brother? He said, "Toh bahut changa hai. This is a small brother, he's gonna assist so much, such a nice brother." Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the Sahaba, "Do you know who these three brothers are? Ye malum hai ki ye teen bhai kaun hai?" Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. Again the same answer, Allah and his Rasul knows best. Because they wanted to know from the mouth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, the first one are the relatives, the children, the wife, the brothers of the person who dies. When a person dies, the family, the relatives, the brothers, the sons, the uncles, chacha, mamu, khalu, they all accompany until the grave. But aaj to zamana ye hai ki agar kisi ke sath jhagda hai to wo bhi janaze mein nahi aata, saga bhai bhi nahi aata. Aaj zamana wo hai. So the relatives, the children, they accompany until the grave. And after that, if there is someone who is pious, he remembers his mother, father, siblings, uncles, friend, sends Isale Sawab, the tilawat of the Quran, does charity, sadaqa in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and does Isale Sawab every now and then. So the children for whom we do not differentiate between halal and haram, they will not come with us. If you make them pious, if you train them properly, you create the environment of the house like a Jannah. Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali, he used to say that Jannat and Jahannam is in this dunya. You can make your house Jahannam or you can make your house Jannat. Ye dunya ke andar hai. If a person has problems in the house, it means he did not fix the environment of the house and the house became a piece of hell for him. like the journey when you travel, a safaro, kit atum minanna. The journey itself is a piece of jahannam, journey. You have so many difficulties. Sometimes the flight is delayed, you have to stay in the queue, sometimes immigration, sometimes scanning, sometimes opening the luggage. This is fire. Why? We did not prepare ourselves from the... If you are allowed 23 kilo, take 22 kilo only. You have no tension at the airport. Nothing to worry. Don't place anything which is unlawful in the suitcase. Koi problem nahi. Get the right visa. Book the right landing card. Aajkal Ebola, nowadays there is Ebola. So now they have got another thing online. You have to declare your health. Where have you been in the last 21 days? I am flying abroad on Sunday. So I just had to fill the form. So many questions inside. Have you been to that country? Have you been to that country? Are you in transit? Is your flight direct? Do you have any symptoms? So if you fill the right forms at the time, you have no worry. See, if our life is full of iman and good amals, good deeds, no worry about Marrabbuka. Let the munkar come. Let him come. He's just an angel. He's a messenger of Allah. Or he's a detective of Allah. If you haven't committed a crime and the police takes you in the police station, why you have to worry? You haven't done anything wrong. So iman is very important. So the first brother will only accompany us until the grave, my brothers. Not beyond that point. The second brother who says, as soon as you will depart from this world, your soul will be taken out from the body. I will leave you straight away. I will not even wait for your janazah. Tere ruh nikalne ke baad, main tere janazah ka intezar nahi karunga. Main fauran chala jaunga. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, do you know who this middle brother is? Who is saying that I will leave as soon as you will depart, you will die. He said, this is his wealth. The person who is deceased, his wealth doesn't wait. Ye ghadi bhi nikal di jayegi, chashme bhi nikal diye jayenge. The topi or turban will be taken out, the clothes will be taken out. And the inheritance will apply for probate. And then if you are living beyond the allowance, then your children will be in trouble. You will have to pay the inheritance tax. Yani maal ka hona ye bhi ek jahannam hai. A person, he earns the whole life and then he's leaving something for his children. Now the children has to pay tax. That is why spend whatever you have got in your life. Spend it. Don't leave it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he performed Salatul Asr. He said to the Sahaba, be seated, don't stand up. Be seated, don't stand up. He went quickly to his house. House was just next to, in the masjid. After few minutes, he came out. And he came to the Sahaba and he said, did you know why I left you and I asked you to be seated? He said, I had a small brick of gold. And that was from Male Ganimat, the war, booty of the war. And that has to be distributed. And I forgot about it. soon as I came for Salatul Asr and I completed, it came in my mind that there is a break which you have to do sadaqah. I rushed quickly so that it is given to the mustahikin, to the poor people, before sunset. So I distributed. I gave the order to distribute it to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. So whatever Allah has given, spend it. Spend in the right way. Spend when the need is. And if you spend with your heart, with sincerity, there is enormous reward for it in the akhirah. Harun Rashid, a very pious ruler. There are very few pious rulers in the history of Islam. There are some rulers who never missed Takbir-e-Tahrima. Takbir-e-Tahrima, when the Imam says Allahu Akbar, they are with the Imam in the row. Never missed Takbir-e-Tahrima. And this quality only Islam can show to the world. There is no any other religion where there is a pious ruler, like rulers came in Islam. Because they had iman, they had taqwa, fear of Allah. So he made a decision that I want to construct a mosque. And that mosque will be constructed with my money only. Nobody is allowed to give any donation in that mosque. So he started constructing the mosque. There was a poor person who was a laborer, ek mazdoor tha. See, everybody has got a wish. When a rich person is giving some masjid in the mosque, a person who hasn't got money, he also has that desire that if Allah could give me, I would also participate in the charity. So he says that I want to give something, but I am poor, I haven't got anything. I've got no dinar, no dirham, no gold, no silver. And there is the order of the king, Harun Rashid, that nobody should give anything. This mosque will be constructed only from my money. And his money is not from the treasury of the government, his own money. So one night he was sleeping at night, he saw Jannah. A king seeing Jannah, king, not a person like you and me. Have you ever seen Jannah? What scale of iman he had, how much honest he was in his kingdom. He saw the Jannah, and in the Jannah he saw two palaces. On one palace it was written, this is palace of Harun Rashid. On the second palace next to it, it was written, this is the palace of such a such person whose name is this, who is from the community of Harun Rashid. So he said, let me go and first visit my neighbor's palace. Then I will go in my palace. So he went to the door, the security guard stopped him. You can't go in this palace. He says, why? He says, it's not your palace. This palace belongs to someone who is in your township. He says, yeah, but he is from, I am the ruler, so he is my people, amongst my people. So why can't you allow? He said, no, you're not allowed. His eyes opens. He was seeing this dream. It was tahajjud namaz. He read tahajjud, Then he went for Fajr. Then he went to the palace and he gathered all the people. And who were the people he gathered? The manager who was in charge of constructing the mosque. He also gathered all the builders, contractor, the architect, the project manager. And then he put a question, I told you that you will not take a penny from anyone else. Why have you taken money to construct my masjid? The people said, Your Honor, we have not taken any penny from anyone. Then he said that go and find so and so who is in our community and get him in the palace. Abu Sanvi ko dhunda, wo aadmi mil gaya, usko hazir kiya mahal ke andar. The person was found and he was brought in the palace. So when he came in the palace, Harun Rashid said, Why did you donate for the masjid? When my order was, nobody can take a penny for constructing the mosque from anyone else. Because this masjid, I am making the masjid. And the virtues of making a masjid, مَنْ بَنَى لِلَّهِ مَسْجِدًا بَنَى اللَّهُ لَهُ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ Whoever constructs a masjid for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just to please Him, no any other intention, no name, no fame. He gives the money and his left hand doesn't know. On the day of judgment, seven people will be in the shade of the throne of Allah. And one of them will be antasaddaqa bi sadaqatin faakhafaha. He gave sadaqa and he sealed it. Hatta la ta'alamu shimaluhu ma yunfiqu yaminu. The left hand did not know what the right hand was giving. That person, he will be in the shade of Allah's throne when the sun will be above the head. At a distance of 1 mile, people will be sweating in their own sweat. People will be standing in their own sweat. According to the sins, some will be until the ankle, some until the thigh, some until the shin, some until the belly button, some until the chest, some until the lips. So why did you pay money? He said, oh, Your Honor, I haven't given any money. Then how did you get that palace next to me in Jannah? Now this question is coming. Tera mahal jannat ke andar kaise ban gaya? He says, when the construction was going on, I had some bricks in my yard. So hidingly, nobody can see me at night when it was dark, I took those couple of bricks and I placed it where the bricks of the mosque were placed. I just put them there. And that was with ikhlas. Few bricks. Harun Rashid has spent the whole amount of money to construct the whole mosque. And this poor person, he did not have anything, and Harun Rashid refused to take any donation. He placed a couple of bricks hidingly at night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted him it, and he constructed a palace for him in Jannah. Hazrat Tamim Dari radiallahu ta'ala. So what is the lesson in this? Allah does not look at the amount. He looks at your quality. He doesn't look at the quantity. He looks at your quality. A poor person should not be despair from the mercy of Allah. Ya ibadi alladhina. Do not get despaired, mir rahmatillah, from the mercy of Allah. If Allah has kept the jannat, is not only for the rich people. So Allah looks at the quality. What is the quality of his niyat? What is the quality of his intention? Innamal a'malu binniyat. Every amal depends on the niyat, on the intention. Hazrat Tamim Dari Rahmatullah Alayhi, he is a Sahabi. He accepted Islam on the hands of jinn. Jinn. Jinn ke haath pe iman lai. He traveled to Sham, and from Sham, he brought some oil and what you call candles nowadays. And he came to Medina. He's a new Muslim. He was lighting the candle in his house. A thought came in his mind. What was the thought? That I am lighting this candle in my house in order to get light. But there is no candle in the mosque of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For 7 years, there was no light in Masjid Nabawi. How many years? 7. There is no AC here for how many months? How many months? 2-3 months. And we are shouting. Oh, it's too hot, it's too hot. What will happen on the day of judgment when the sun will be above the head? Think about it. And think about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mosque. 7 years there was no light. Koi diya bhi nahi tha, diya, lantern, where you put oil and it lights. So he started thinking at night when he was lighting that lantern in his house with the oil he brought from Sham. He says, today I will go to Masjid Nabawi and I'm going to light this lantern in Masjid Nabawi. Now I want to show you what type of niyat he had. Niyat he had. What I like for my house, it should be in the house of Allah as well. That was the courage they had. So after tahajjud, he takes the lantern, he goes to Masjid Nabawi, and he lights it. He does the tahajjud namaz. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came out for fajr namaz, he saw the masjid was full of light. He calls the sahabi, all the sahabi after fajr, and he asks, who lighted this lantern? Tamim Dari said, when he asked this question, my whole body was shaking. Ab kya hoga? What will happen now? Maybe he did not like it. Because for 7 years, the Sahaba and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are doing salat in dark in the masjid. There is no light. Every Sahabi have bent their necks downwards. Nobody has got the guts to look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's face. What will happen now? Then he looks at Tamim Dari. He says, stand up and tell what happened. See, this is a prophet. Mayantiku in huwa illa wahyu yuha. Everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to him with wahi. Wama yantiku anil hawa. He never says anything from his own desire, from his own self. He says, what happened? He says, I'm scared. He says, don't be scared. Tamim Dari, you have made me so much happy. I was never happy like this before. That you have lightened my house, the house of Allah. And then he says, because of your amal of this, that you provided light for the masjid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted everybody's charity. So the khidmat of the house of Allah is very important. There was a black, not a black moment, a black complexion, dark complexion, black word is not good. Dark complexion woman who used to clean the masjid. She passed away. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not see her. He inquired, where is that dark complexion woman? He said, oh Prophet, she passed away. He said, why you didn't tell me? She was a dark complexion woman, so the Sahaba thought, what is the need to inform the Prophet? He says, guide me to her grave. Just khidmat of the masjid. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to her grave. And he supplicated there. And then he said to the Sahaba, because of my supplication, her whole grave is full of light. So my brothers, today we have a guest, brother Ridwan. Ridwan Hussein, inshallah. He will make an appeal for our mosque. Our mosque is not completed. We need to complete this mosque. With whatever we can give, small, big, anything. And this is the amal which will be useful on the Day of Judgment. I haven't completed the whole hadith. What the second brother, then the third brother, who is the third brother? Inshallah, when I return back, if I remember, I will continue the hadith. Make dua for me. I am going abroad. May Allah make the journey successful, full of fruits and everything, inshallah. When I return back, inshallah, I will meet you again. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta wa nastaghfiruka wa natubu.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم First and foremost السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته It's always an absolute pleasure to be here at Nur al-Islam This masjid is a dream for many of us for many years Alhamdulillah to where we've reached really your achievement, every single person in here. There are some children in here. This masjid began long before you were born, subhanAllah. And you're getting the fruits of this because your elders made this possible. I can feel it's a little bit warm in here. It's a little bit humid. And we've seen how hot it can get here in the UK over the last few weeks. I've come back here today to especially talk to you about a very, very urgent need that we have for the masjid. But before that, I want to share a little bit of our own history as Muslims. There was a time when there was a very extreme flood that took place in Mecca. And as a result, the Kaaba itself was damaged. And the Kaaba had to be rebuilt. And during that time, the Quraysh were the people who were responsible for rebuilding the Kaaba. And as was the case, everybody in that community was asked to contribute towards rebuilding the Kaaba. So everybody contributed. And there was one condition attached to that contribution, that whatever you will contribute towards the rebuilding of the Kaaba must be from your pure and halal income. That's the bottom line. Any income from any other source was not allowed to be donated towards the Kaaba. And it got to a point where enough was gathered to rebuild most of the Kaaba, except one area which to this day remains incomplete. And that is known as Hijr Ismail or Al-Hatim. Many of you will have seen the semicircular bit on one side of the Kaaba, which was originally a part of the Kaaba. And the reason why it remained incomplete, because the people of Quraysh, the people of Makkah, had exhausted their halal income. There was no more halal sources to contribute. Now think about this. The most important place in the world, Baytullah, the Kaaba, was left incomplete only because the community had exhausted all of its halal income. And to this date, it remains the same. Hence, when we do tawaf, we go round the semicircle. If you ever do a shortcut, your tawaf is not complete. But why am I telling you this? SubhanAllah, over the last decade or so, you've seen this masjid grow from just bare ground to this building that you're sitting in today. And we're at that stage where we're on the finishing line. The question I have to ask, this community, upon whose shoulders is this responsibility of this masjid, is have we exhausted all our halal means at this point? If you ask yourself individually, have we given all that we can from our halal sources and that's it? We've got nothing left to give to do the final finishing bits that required in this masjid. And I'm quite sure every single one of you will answer to that, no, I haven't exhausted my halal means. Allah, in fact, has given me back whatever I gave to the masjid and multiplied it and returned it. None of us in this masjid has become poor because of your contribution to this masjid. In fact, you will have benefited in ways that are noticeable and ways that we don't even understand, both in the dunya and the akhirah. So the example that I brought to you here was the only masjid in the world that remained incomplete was for one reason. And that was because the halal income of that community was exhausted. There's nothing left. We, alhamdulillah, here in the UK, are never in that situation where we can say that in this room right now, in this entire masjid, there isn't anybody left with a halal provision to give to this masjid. We can't say that. We have that means. Now today, I'm going to bring to you a very, very simple and a very manageable appeal. It's not for millions of pounds. There is one very important piece of work that has to happen immediately. You're feeling the heat in here. The air conditioning needs to be started. The lifts need to be started so people can come up to the prayer hall. And the remainder of the building work can only be completed if one very important project is completed right now. Let me tell you about this. Because of the sheer size of this building and its electrical requirements, this masjid needs an electrical substation. Okay? In technical language, basically it needs to have a source of electricity that will allow for the air conditioning to work, the lifts to work, and all the other necessities here to be operational for us to move on to the next phase. Now, how much is that going to cost? And let me tell you, Like one famous imam once said, today I'm here to tell you some good news. The money we need from this masjid, alhamdulillah, we found this money. And everybody started celebrating, takbir, Allahu Akbar. And then the imam reminded them, yes, indeed we have found it in your pockets. And we're in the same situation here. £140,000 is urgently needed to install the electrical substation. And this is an absolute priority and an urgency. And in a very simple appeal, right now there's throughout the masjid there are probably 300, 400 people, probably more. If 140 of us here were to just raise our hands and say, let me put that £1,000 towards this important fund that will allow us to go to the finishing line. Hence, I brought the example. Have we exhausted our halal sources? Of course not. We all have that. So today, my dear brothers, I want to see if in the duration of this Jummah time, we can actually complete this target. It's not a huge amount of money. But it will allow us to immediately install the electrical substation, get the air conditioning going, get the lifts working, and allow us to complete the work in both the basement and the upper floor. So I'm going to ask you again. And I know you've given over and over and over again. But subhanAllah, if you're being asked to give again, it is Allah Azza wa Jal giving you the opportunity to be a part of this yet again. Just one last thing I'm going to say to you before I start. Imagine if you and I had the opportunity of contributing even a fistful of cement towards the Kaaba, we would be falling over each other to be the first. Baytullah. This too is a house of Allah that is asking you at this very urgent time, let's make this happen. And I do want to try and achieve this today, if possible. So inshallah, I'm going to start, I'm going to keep this feel very, very simple. We've got two Jummah happening, so I'll be doing the same appeal on both Jummahs. But inshallah, even if it's a little bit of a stretch, I want us to see if we can make this happen, inshallah. So I'm going to start on £1,000, a very simple figure, to see whether we can get maybe 50 hands or 100 hands, or even the total 140. I'm already seeing some hands, but wait a second. Let's see if we can do this. After I say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, I'd like to see as many hands come up for that £1,000. And let's see if we can achieve this, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Keep those hands coming up and then I'll start counting, inshallah. Let's see some more hands. Okay? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, subhanAllah, 8. Let's keep those hands coming up. 9. 10 hands, 5,000 there, so that takes it to 15 hands. Let's keep going, brothers. Take me up to 50 hands at least. We've got 15, 16. Four more, take me up to 20, inshallah. Let's see four more hands, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Just that £1,000 that Allah has given you the opportunity to give, inshallah. We've already got, look, £16,000 within a few minutes. Can I see four more hands, please? Bismillah. If you're in the other room and they've been counting, 17, alhamdulillah. Give me three more. Three more hands, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. 18, alhamdulillah. Two more hands. Let's get up to 20. Give me two more hands, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. 19, right at the back. One more to take me up to 20. Bismillah. Our volunteers have got these pledge forms. You need only fill it out and give it back to them. You can, of course, downstairs make the payment on card if you wish to do so, or make an arrangement to come and drop this off. I need one more hand to get me up to 20. 20. Allahu Akbar. I'm going to be a little bit cheeky and say, look, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He loves the odd number. If you give me 10 more hands, we get up to 30. That's the odd number. Once more, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Push yourself that little bit further, inshallah. Yeah? Bismillah. Any more hands? 21. 9 more. Okay, let me bring it down a notch, make it a little bit easier. I'm going to bring it down to £500. This is manageable by many of us in here, inshallah. So, in order for me to get to 30,000, I actually need 18 hands. Let's see if we can do this. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Please raise your hands, inshallah, for just that £500 contribution. One. Alhamdulillah. Keep those hands coming up, please. Two. Three. Alhamdulillah. We're getting there slowly. I've only got a couple more minutes. We need to be quite quick. Please, just raise your hand. Bi-Iznillah. Four. Young man there, mashallah. We're on 23. Subhanallah. Let's get a few more hands up, please. Right at the back, five. SubhanAllah. Give me three more hands and then we're on 25,000. Just three more. And I'll have to conclude here. It's nearly time for the khutbah. And there's sisters as well, SubhanAllah. I'm sure the sisters are also putting their hand up. I want to go down to one more figure and then we will go to the khutbah, as we are short of time. Another hand there. There we are. That's taking us up to £24,000. And no doubt the sisters have probably taken us up to £30,000. My target for the first Jummah is half of this amount, £70,000. Second half in the second Jummah, inshallah. So for the last amount, just £250, please. And this is the last I'm going to ask. Of course, you can give whatever amount you can on your way out, be it £100, £50, £10 even. But I'd like to see the most number of hands now, please, for 250. Here we go. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Please raise your hands one last time, inshallah. Please raise your hands for, alhamdulillah, one, two, at the back. SubhanAllah. A lot of young people putting their hand up. Please, raise your hands. You know, Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, give openly and give secretly. He says both of them. Openly, when you think that if I put my hand up, somebody might be inspired. Let me do that. Any more hands? Okay, I will stop here. On the way out, I will be downstairs with our volunteers, card machines, pledge forms. Please, I want every single one of us to contribute. If we can do this within a very short time, we will have this substation installed and we'll be a lot more comfortable here in the house of Allah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brothers, Jazakallah, we desperately need that substation in order to have the AC and the leaf and other things. So please, Jazakallah for those who raise their hand and those who are going to give downstairs. Brothers will be downstairs. But we thank Brother Rizwan. He's been with us from the start and helping us all the time. May Allah reward him and his family. Jazakallah. Sorry to take a couple of more minutes of your time. Inshallah, Maulana will start the khutbah. Assalamu alaikum.